शांति। द सब्जेक्ट आई एम गोइंग टू स्पीक ऑन टुडे इज हाउ टू फ्री द सेल्फ फ्रॉम सिनफुल एक्शंस। We all know that this world is called the field of actions, and it is a universal law that in any field, in any land, whatever you sow, you reap accordingly. If you sow thorns, you will reap thorns. If you sow flowers, you will reap flowers. If you sow fruits, you will reap fruits. And then one step forward, because there are variety of thorns, variety of flowers, variety of fruits, and therefore whatever type of flower or fruit or thorn you sow, you will reap the same. You cannot expect to reap flowers and while you sow thorns, or you sow flowers and you reap fruit now. And whichever type you sow, you reap that only. This is the universal law. And this law is applicable in every religion. No one can deny this. Even science cannot deny it. No one will argue on this point too. So there are many universal facts which cannot be argued upon or denied or discussed on. They are inevitable. They are universal laws. They have to be accepted without any comments, or they are taken for granted. They are the basis. Just like in science we say that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is a universal law. This is a basic law of science. Another basic law of science is that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. It can only change its form from one to the other, but total sum remains the same. This is such a great basic law of science on which are based so many theories of science. If this basic law would not have been there, science would have no base. So just as science has this base of action and reaction, and also the eternity, the imperishable things what we see in matter, so too, the basis of spirituality is the same. Although we do say that there are exceptions sometimes to some rules, there are bylaws also, but then the basic law will remain the same. And on this, the basis of this, we can understand so many factors. What is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, what is vice, what is virtue, what is sorrow, what is happiness. If you give sorrow to someone, you cannot expect happiness. You will reap sorrow. If you give happiness to someone, you cannot reap sorrow. This is the basic law. You will definitely reap happiness. But then, what happens is that between the seed and the fruit, there are so many different factors which also influence. And the result is that it may seem that the fruit is not the same. Although it may seem, but it is not true. It will be the same. For example, somebody may say that, I have never given sorrow to anyone. I have never really hurt anyone. I have never committed any sins. You know, I've been so good my whole life. Everything I've done is so good. I've not done anything bad. But then why do people give me sorrow? Why do they hurt me? Why this physical pain? Why this? Why this? Like the other day, Moini Ben was asking Baba, you know, because little things, something happens to her body. You know, very delicate it is. She sprained her foot, sometimes her knees, her hands, you know, something is always happening. And then she's asking, why, Baba, why this? And Baba said, it is the fruit of your karma itself. Maybe not of this birth, but of the previous birth, previous births. So we have to accept it. This is has to be accepted, come what may. But then, some people say that, when Baba says that, when you remember me, your sins are absolved, then they should be all absolved, they should all be finished. But then on the other hand, Baba also says, whatever you do, you will reap for it. Even Baba cannot do anything. In one Murli, Baba said, even Baba cannot do anything. You have to reap. And therefore, this looks very controversial. If I have to reap, then how can I absolve my sins through remembrance? So we have to understand the fact that whatever I have done, I will definitely have to reap. But through remembrance, I can lower the intensity. Because again, happiness or sorrow is all in the mind. Even if somebody has a lot of physical pain, but there are people, you know, I've seen, there's so much of tolerance, that pain is not visible on their face. They're not visible. They're still smiling in spite of the pain. They don't cry, they don't shout, they don't scream. And there are others, even with the slightest pain, they start shouting, they start screaming, they start crying, you know, because they can't tolerate. You go to a hospital and you see, you can feel this difference. Some people are so sick and yet they're smiling. And others, they have hardly any little sickness, but then what a sulky face, what a sad face, so much depressed, you know, so much. Why? Because their mind has been working too much. And those who have been smiling, their mind is not working much on the, you know, with the body. And therefore we say it has a lot to do with the mind also. Because if I'm in Baba's remembrance, definitely my stage will be very high and I will be able to overcome the body consciousness which is actually making me feel the pain so much. And when I can go beyond the pull of the body consciousness, I won't feel the pain, although it is there. That remembrance acts like a tranquilizer, it acts like a painkiller, you know, it acts like giving me some extra dose of energy. And therefore the result is that I don't feel it, even though it is there. So it's not that my that whatever I have to reap will finish, but then I know how to overcome it through my higher stage of awareness. And as Baba says, that you are not the body, but you are a soul. So once I've understood this, we understand also how everything works. So these statements are not contrary, not opposite, are not against each other, that you have to pay for your actions and then through remembrance you can absolve. Both are right. And therefore we have to understand that as Baba is now purifying us, at this time of the confluence, we do have on our head a burden of sinful actions of 63 births, not 84 births, because golden age, silver age, no sinful actions were committed. But yes, from copper age onwards, we had been committing sinful actions. And how did the sinful actions start being committed? It was because of body consciousness. So we say body consciousness is the root of all sinful actions. It's the seed of all sinful actions. And from body consciousness develops different shoots. And we say lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, prejudice, hatred, jealousy, so many vices which are the root of body consciousness. And therefore we say in golden age they don't exist. Why? Because there's no body consciousness. You may ask, is there soul consciousness? But Baba says that soul consciousness is a natural way in golden age. It's a natural way of life there, which we develop here, which we experience here, and make it natural. In Paramdham, we are naturally soul conscious. There's no body there. In golden age also, we are naturally soul conscious, although we are in the body. Because we take this sanskars, the sanskars of soul consciousness from here, and therefore in golden age they are there. From Paramdham we bring our original soul conscious sanskars. But yes, as we finish the fruit of our righteous actions of Sangam Yoga in golden age and silver age, then the new accounts begin. And therefore people know only two types of actions. They know sinful actions and they know, good actions. Because good actions and sinful actions, they are, or charitable actions and sinful actions, they start from copper age onwards. Golden age and silver age are just actions which neutralize our righteous actions which we do at the confluence age. And therefore, there's no question of charitable actions or sinful actions in golden age and silver age. Neither any action is a charitable action nor a sinful action. It's a neutralizing action, neutralizing our righteous actions which we perform at the confluence age. And therefore Baba said, I think it was today's Murli or yesterday's Murli, in which Baba said there, the relationships do not give sorrow. Why? Because the relationships in golden age are also based on the actions those souls perform at the confluence age. As a result of that, they get that status or stage or whatever, and then on the basis of that, the relationships are formed, which don't give sorrow. But from copper age onwards, relationships also give rise to sorrow. They lead to sorrow. Relationship is meant for happiness. But relationships do give sorrow because they are all based on karma. The karmic accounts which we create with each other. And therefore sinful actions are committed and therefore the sorrow is experienced. And therefore Baba says, finish it from the roots. Be soul conscious, be soul conscious. In every murli at the beginning, the same type of, although in different words, but meaning the same thing. Children, sit in a soul conscious stage. Be soul conscious. We are spiritual children of the spiritual father. The spiritual father is explaining to spiritual children. You have to listen to Baba's murli being a soul, you know, in soul conscious stage. So every murli will have this at the beginning. Because if one is listening to Baba's murli in a body conscious stage, it will never go in his intellect. And therefore, once we are soul conscious, then everything is absorbed easily. But then, how to be free from these sinful actions? Of course, one method is that through remembrance, Baba says, we do absolve our sins because internally we get so much power through the remembrance that even if I'm reaping anything of my own karma, I don't feel it. I know it's mine. I can't blame anybody else. Nobody can take my karma. If I have stomachache, no one will say, okay, I take away your stomachache. I take it instead of you. No, my stomachache, I have to reap. But yes, somebody can give me some medicine and that can help me. Why not? So that's another factor. Any pain I have, somebody can't say, okay, I take your pain. No. My pain, I have to reap. So as I have understood this wonderful concept, then I now can build steps. And the first step is that the more I am soul conscious, the more I am God conscious, the more I am in Baba's remembrance, I am freeing myself from sinful actions. That is one method. And the other method, of course, is that I don't commit any more sinful actions. Yeah? Because if I am committing sinful actions and I am also trying to absolve my sinful actions, then in the account there won't be any profit. It'll be maybe the same. Therefore, I should not commit any more sinful actions if I want to finish off all my past sinful actions. And the third thing is that if any type of obstacle is coming in my way, any type of obstacle, let me tell myself, I'm becoming free. Let go. I'm freeing myself. And that is why Baba says, don't ask questions. Why, what, how, when. You know, it's a waste of energy. Because I'm finishing off my old karmic accounts in this way. If there's physical problem, I should not say why. Why this with me only? Why not with anybody else? When I get something good, at that time I don't say why only with me or why not with the other one. You know, that time I'm ready. I just grab it. I don't think that why only me and not the other one. But when it comes to something bad, why me only? Why not the other one? You know, then the thought comes. And therefore, if I get good or bad, it's me. But then I don't blame myself again. You know, many people who don't know how to love the self, they just know to blame the self. Yes, I am responsible, my bad karma, I am very bad, I am this, I am that. You know, they blame themselves and then start hating themselves. And when they start hating themselves, then too they are actually committing more sinful actions. Because hatred anyway is leading to a sinful action. whether you hate somebody else or you hate yourself. You know, some may say, I'm hating only myself, I'm not hating anybody else, so why should it be a sinful action? Of course it is, because that very root is hatred. And hatred itself is the cause of sinful action, whether you're hating yourself or anybody else. And therefore Baba says, love yourself, pat yourself on your back. How great I am, how great I am Baba's child. How great, how fortunate. So I don't only love myself, but I also love others. Some people say, how can I love myself? Isn't that body consciousness? You're not loving, you're not thinking of the body. You're loving yourself as a soul, because the soul is really a virtuous soul. And therefore, as love is a great virtue, it's not just for others, it's also for the self. And therefore we say, if any physical ailment is there, let me not hate myself. Let me not say, oh, my sinful actions. No, Baba, this body is yours. This body is not mine. This body belongs to matter. I am a soul. So, if there is any karmic account which I am finishing, I know how to go beyond that. Because I don't hate the body. I don't hate myself too. So because I am doing it with love, I am able to overcome my past easily. Similarly, if others are trying to give me sorrow, well, it's my karmic account, definitely. But then I don't take the sorrow, as Baba says. Why do you take the sorrow? Nobody can give you sorrow forcibly, you know, nobody. If somebody wants to give you something and you don't want to take it, no one can, you know, just thrust it upon you. No, you have to. Even a small child, if it doesn't want to eat and the mother is trying to feed the child doesn't want to eat. Even if forcibly the mother is putting that morsel in the mouth, the child will throw out, poo, 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 you know, it will not take it because it doesn't want to eat. So the mother can't force it, even a small child. Leave aside an elderly person. Sometimes you say, children, no, well, you can do whatever you want, but no, if the child doesn't want to eat. So if somebody is trying to give me something, I don't want to take it, I don't want it, so I don't have to, I can't be forced to take it. And therefore no one can forcibly give me sorrow either, because I didn't take it. I remember once Dadiji, it was a very sort of a scene of stress, you know. And somebody came and just started saying many things to Dadiji, Dadi Prakash Mani. And I was standing there. I don't know, many things about this one, that one, that one, that one. And Dadi was listening, even about Dadi. Dadi, you don't do this, you don't do that, you know. And Dadi listened very peacefully, very peacefully. I was watching Dadi. Her face didn't change at all. You know, somebody's face will change. What does he think of himself? I know what I'm doing, you know. The ego can come, or the hatred can come, or, you know, anger can come. But no, Dadi just listened and let him say whatever he wanted to say. And after he had finished, of course, how long could he go on? Dadi was still so quiet, so peaceful. And then Dadi very sweetly asked him, do you want to say anything more? Do you want to say anything more? Well, what more he could say? He just vomited out everything in front of Dadi. And I was watching Dadi. And she smiled at him. And it was an interesting scene. That how he also started smiling, because he vomited out everything and then it had become clear, and then he also started smiling. And then Dadi said, okay, I will take your whatever you said into consideration. I will definitely do it. Yeah, I'll let you know. But so sweetly she said, so sweetly, and she said, come and take toli. And you can understand, when Dadis give toli, all, everything was inside is finished, no? So that's the speciality of the dadis. So this is what I saw in Dadi, and I could feel that how great she is. We speak about Mahatma Buddha, you know. Mahatma Buddha, somebody came and started abusing him like anything. And then this, in the story it is, maybe a fact also, that Mahatma Buddha asked that brother, that man who got upset with him and started abusing him. He said, well, if someone tries to give something to someone and the other one doesn't take, then with whom does it remain? So that's the story of Mahatma Buddha. But Dadiji, she didn't say that. She said, yes, anything more. Okay, you may say anything more. That means her stage was so calm, so cool, so peaceful. And she was smiling all the way and so light. And that person didn't see Dadi's stage, but he was in his own, you know, thing which was coming in his mind, and he just didn't see anything else and just vomited out whatever he wanted to say. So this shows how the greatness of Dadiji. So what I'm trying to say is that if there is anyone trying to give me sorrow also, I don't take it. Why should I take it? I have my own self-respect. This is why Baba says, if I don't have self-respect, there is ego, then I feel hurt. Ego, if I have ego, then I feel insulted. But if I have my self-respect, I don't feel insulted because I know who I am. I know my stage. I know myself. I don't have to accept what the other one says. And therefore I can maintain my self-respect and not take the sorrow. But we take the sorrow very quickly. Why? Because of ego. We get upset very quickly. We feel hurt very quickly. We feel insulted very quickly. So it was a test for me, and I failed in that test because I felt insulted. I felt hurt. I felt that inner pain. And I took the sorrow. So if somebody gives sorrow, well, it's a sinful action. But then if somebody even takes the sorrow, that too becomes a part of sinful action. Because if I've taken sorrow, then definitely I will also give because I've taken it. And then I will outburst, I will say anything which that person may not like. So I'm giving him sorrow because I've taken the sorrow from him. But if I don't take the sorrow, I don't have to give also. And therefore, Baba says that we can finish our sinful actions in this way, that I don't take it, the take the sorrow, but just finish whatever he gave. Okay, he tried to give, I didn't take, and it's finished. So whether it is physically, whether it is mentally, whether it is any situation too, I can just have the thought of letting go in a second. That's it. It's a burden. When, you know, nowadays you hear of so much of earthquakes and floods, you know, what not. And when a flood is coming somewhere, it's announced. Run away from here. Leave this place. Leave this place. Leave this place. And people have to vacate. They don't have to think of their money, their possessions, their house, their this, because life is more important than any possession of the world. So they just leave everything and run for life. Because if they don't, then they will definitely be drowned because a dam broke or something happened and there's flood there. So possessions can come later on, doesn't matter, but life is more precious. And there are some people who may have the blind faith, oh well, God is with me, God is with me, He will take care of me. But then God is there with you and God Himself is telling you to go. Why do you think that somebody else is telling you to go? You know, there's a joke on this. Once a flood was coming in a village, you know, water was coming, and it was announced that vacate, leave your village, run away from your village, leave everything, run because the water is coming. And everybody fled. But there was one person who did not flee. He said, God will help me, God will help me. You know, he had that blind faith in God. And then his neighbor came, he was fleeing too. And the neighbor told him, come on, let's go, leave everything. He said, no, no, God will help me, God will help me. He didn't run. Well, that neighbor left because he was not willing to go. And then after that, he saw the water coming up and he ran to the top of the hatched roof, you know. And then when he went up, then a boatman came and said, come on, sit in this boat. I will take you across. The water was already there. He said, no, God will help me. God will help me. And then ultimately the water was coming more and more and he went to the top of the roof. And he's standing there and then a helicopter came. Because they save people, no? And the helicopter put his ladder down. Put the ladder down and said, come on, climb this ladder. He said, no, God will help me. God will help me. And then what happened? He went to God. Well, when he went to God, he said, God, why didn't you help me? He died. He was drowned. God, why didn't you help me? I trusted you so much and you didn't help me. He said, of course I did. I sent you three messengers. I sent you the three messengers. Who were those three messengers? The neighbor, the boatman and the helicopter man. I sent you them. But you didn't pay heed to my help. And you were in blind faith. So don't think, oh, God will help me. A miracle will happen and God will help you. God won't help you in that way. God sends, of course, messengers. And they are like messengers of God to help you. God will not help you through magic, no. So why don't you think that, yes, God's help is coming in this way? You know, these are just stories, but then they have such deep meaning. And therefore, Baba says that you should be able to keep yourself safe in the way that you don't feel hurt. So of course, in actions, we have to of course take care in words as well as in our thoughts. And therefore, Baba says, even before that negative thought is coming, you know, about self or anybody else, you nip it in the bud, in the sense that say no, just like if there is a big obstacle coming and it is right in front of you. You can't go back. You can't turn sideways. The only way to save yourself is just to give a strong break. Because if you don't give a strong break, then finished. Because it's right in front of you. Yes, if you're a little bit far away from it, you know you can turn aside and, you know, just go sideways all night. But if it comes all of a sudden, and if you go over it, you'll crush yourself. So the best thing is you should be able to give a powerful brake, and your brake should be very powerful in order to make that vehicle stop in a second. Of course, it will lead to a jerk, no doubt, but at least you'll be saved. Nowadays, you have even different methods of, you know, when an accident happens, there should be a power brake. And secondly, even if the accident happens, then the balloon, the air balloon, it just comes and you are saved. You know, so many different methods are there nowadays in order to be saved. So Baba has also given us different methods for saving the self. At that time, just create a powerful thought, no. Say no to yourself. And immediately it will be like a powerful break and you won't have the negative thought anymore. Because if you are creating that negative thought and then sustaining that negative thought, you can imagine where it will lead to. You are like sowing a negative seed, a seed of thorns. And therefore Baba says, nip it in the bud itself. Don't allow the bud to come. Don't allow the root to be watered. So say no. So if anything is about to think which is not right, say no to yourself. Sometimes it may not be negative, but it is waste. You know, it is waste. It's not negative. And you may say, well, it's not negative. What's the harm in thinking it? It's not negative. But then it definitely is waste, no? You may say it's not waste, but then maybe the time is not the right time for having that thought. Supposing you are sitting in Madhuban and you are, you know, having so much to do, meditation classes, you have come here to fill yourself. But if at this time you are thinking, when I go back to my job, my boss will do like that, when I go back home, my wife will not, you know, this will happen, my children, you know, all this. You are thinking of all that now. Then you are not actually taking the power in Madhuban or in Madhuban. You are having those thoughts. Then you may say, but then sister, I know this will happen. Okay, let it happen. You gain the strength here. And when you gain the strength here, you'll be able to face that very easily. And here you're not even gaining the strength and you're thinking about that now. Then how will you be able to face it anyway? Or if something has happened in the past and you are thinking about it, well, it's waste. Okay, I learnt a lesson from it, so I don't repeat, but at least now I should not think of it. But then some say, but it has happened with me, how can I forget? And here Baba has given us a knowledge of the drama. Such a beautiful knowledge of the drama, to forget the past. Today also Baba said in the Murli. Every day Baba tells us in different ways. Past is past. Past is past. Let bygones be bygones. I know of a lady, she was not in Gyan, but then her son was in Gyan and not much, but he was just in contact. So his mother was dying, you know. It was a terminal ailment and she was dying. But then all the time she was crying and crying and crying. And, you know, so that her son came to me and said, sister, can you please come to meet her? And she's crying all the time. So I went to meet her in the hospital. She knew that she would not survive. She knew it. Her cancer had spread all over everything. She was terminally ill and the doctor had said, we don't know how long she's going to survive for, but then just give her the good wishes. And therefore her son was trying to give her, but she was crying and crying. And so I went and I asked her, why are you crying? She said, my husband did like this to me, my mother-in-law did like that to me, my father-in-law did that, my brother did that, my sister did that, my children did them. I said, now it's all over, sister. It's all over. Now your real friend is God. Then he started even blaming God. God is a curse, you know, God is not good. He didn't do good to me, he didn't do that, he didn't, you know. She started cursing God also, leave aside human beings. And she's crying and crying and crying and crying. Well, it was a difficult situation for me because here she was dying and everything was to finish. Nothing was going to go with her. No physical, no human beings were going to go with her, no possessions were going to go with her, nothing. But here she was even cursing God, so she was left all alone, all alone. You know, some people are frightened of death because of many factors. But then, at least when they are reminded of God and they know that, yes, they have to go back to God, so at least God is their friend, is their companion. There's someone who is with them. And therefore they can have that consolation, yes, God is with me. And therefore Baba says at the end, you should not remember anything except Baba. But then a long time practice is necessary for that. It's not so easy to think of God at the end when whole life you have never remembered God. You know, people say that. It's not easy. My children, my family, my house, my money, my this, my shop, so much they remember. Okay, leave aside possessions and people, but situations, that makes it it's more worse because all the memories of the past come back. And therefore Baba says, a full stop in this way to drama. past is past. It's such a beautiful feeling to say past is past. It's like just letting go. And you become so light, you know. You have a big burden on your head and you put that burden down, you feel so relaxed. You take a sigh of relief because that you put the burden down. So even situations are like burdens, you know. We hold them and then we become heavy. And how do we let go? Drama. It's a beautiful word, just one word, drama, and we're able to let go the past. But then some people can't let go, even if they say drama, they can't let go. Why? Because they say, but then if it's in the drama, then the next kalpa also the same thing will happen. Okay, now what happened? It happened in the last kalpa also. Did you know that happened in the last kalpa? You felt it was new for you, no? It did happen in the last kalpa. Baba says that too, no? Nothing is new anyway. Whatever is happening has already happened in the last kalpa before. And therefore nothing new is happening, no? So if you say it will happen in the next kalpa also, but then again it will happen too and you won't even know that it had happened before. So why think of that thought that it will happen in the next kalpa also? Then some say, can't we change the drama? Okay, try to change it. Try it. Doesn't matter. Try to change it, no? But then Baba gives the truth that, yes, you do change through your karma, but then again, that's part of the drama. You know, changing is also part of the drama because it was in the drama for you to change. That is where the thought came. And therefore Baba says, use the word drama only after the situation has happened. Don't use it before. Some use drama in a wrong way. Okay, if it is to happen, it will happen. No, it has to happen. It's fixed. No, everything is fixed. So, if it's to happen, it will happen. So, I don't want to make efforts. Baba says, no, even that's not right. Because you don't know, no? Okay, if you don't want to make efforts, don't do anything. Can you sit without performing any actions? You cannot. You have to perform actions. So why not perform the right actions? You can't sit without performing actions anyway. So it is best to perform the right actions. And you don't know what was in the past, so why think of that? You just perform the right actions. So once I have understood the drama that it has to be used only after the action has happened. It's like an exit gate. It's like an emergency gate. Drama, it's not to be used in ordinary cases. You know, you have emergency exits, you have emergency gates, you have fire exits. It's written there. Not to be used for normal work, not normal dough, as a normal dough. It's only during emergency. And if you use it in a normal way, you will be penalized. It's a penalty. It's meant only for emergency. And if we use this point of drama every time, even when there's no emergency, okay, if it's in a drama, I'll do it, you'll be penalized, you know. You'll have to pay a penalty. It's against the law. It's like you're holding a knife and one side is blunt and the other side is sharp. And you want to cut an object, whatever, a fruit. But you use the knife, in a wrong way. Then you cut your finger. You wanted to cut the fruit, but you held it wrongly because you didn't know how to hold the knife. So you held it wrongly and instead of cutting the fruit, you cut your finger. So you can't blame the knife for it. That, why did it cut my finger? You didn't hold it right. We usually blame situations. And therefore Baba says, don't even blame yourself. You know, no blaming situation, I blame myself. Don't even blame yourself. Well, it was drama. So three steps for freeing the self from sinful actions. The first is, of course, the highest one. Baba says, remember me, remember me. Because through remembrance, the feeling comes, Baba is with me, the Almighty Authority is with me. Why do I think of anything else? I am the luckiest person in the world. And that will enable me to not be jealous of anyone. It will enable me to not hurt anyone. It will enable me to let go of so many things. You know, all these things are easily possible when I know who is with me. But then, of course, as I mentioned, those three messengers came. Oh, God is with me, therefore I just keep my fingers crossed and God will help me. Of course, they are there. They are messengers of God to help me. So, once I have understood that Baba is with me and Baba is taking care of me, my thoughts will immediately go to Baba and I'll become so easy to, because I know, well, Baba will do it through somebody. I don't have the blind faith that, oh, Baba will help me, some miracle will happen. It will happen. The thoughts will come. It will come instantly, like Baba touching my intellect, because the line is clear. It can come through somebody. It can come in my thoughts also. The right acts which I have to do, the thoughts can come. It can come through somebody else also. You know, I give you a very interesting situation. You must have heard of a very big gas tragedy which happened in India called Bhopal gas tragedy, where thousands of people perished because there was ammonia gas, nitrous oxide gas, you know, they all were leaked out and there was a very, very foul smell in the whole town and people didn't know what was happening and they ran and ran and ran, and that smell, of course, the poisonous gases, they also moved and so many people died, you know of that, no? Thousands of people perished. The worst gas tragedy anywhere in the world happened in Bhopal. And the center, Baba's center, was very close to that area, that place where that factory was. And what happened? There were two sisters there. And they too felt the smell. Now, when they felt the smell, they didn't know what to do. And people downstairs were saying, run, 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 run for life. Something has happened. Fire has broke. Something, something. There was smoke also. And everybody running. But then these sisters said, where will we go? We can't go anywhere. And they just sat in Baba's remembrance. And you know, something interesting happened. A thought came in their mind, close the windows, like Baba giving them the touching. Close the windows. And then still they could get the smell. It was winter. And then the thought came, put the fans on at full speed. And they put on the, like Baba touching them. And then again Baba touched them because they felt thirsty. Drink as much water as possible. And they drank and drank and drank. And then again a thought came, just put blanket on your face and go to sleep. And this is what they did. They went to bed, put the blanket fully on them, on their face too, drank a lot of water, you know, close all the windows, put the fan at full speed, and then they just went to bed. They didn't run. And all those who ran and ran, they perished, they died, but nothing happened to these sisters. Nothing happened. And they were saved. So afterwards, when the inquiry happened, who was saved and who ran, who died, who all that, these sisters also went and they were examined if anything happened to their lungs, you know, all that. And nothing happened. They were 100% safe. And the doctors were surprised. The count, you know, those, the municipality, all those who were taking going to house and finding out. They were surprised. And they asked, how were you able to do it? Because whatever you did was the absolute right thing to do. They closed all the windows, put the fan at full speed, although it was so cold, and they drank lots of water and they just went to bed with the blankets on their head so that they couldn't get the smoke. And little oxygen, whatever was available, they survived without any hurt to their physical body. And then, so they were invited to Madhuban And we asked them, and you know, they said that how Baba helped them. How Baba helped them? They just got touching. Do this, child, do this, do this, do this. And they did it accordingly. And they survived. So many different examples are there. Once in India, there was a big earthquake. And the center was very close to that place in the earthquake area. And it happened at 4:30 in the morning. And at 4:30 in the morning, it happened and they had got up, they were doing Amrit Vela in Baba's room, which was on one side of the floor, and the bedroom was on the other side. So they were on this side, and bedroom and kitchen on this side, you know, one whole story, one whole floor of the building. And the earthquake happened so much that the whole building shook. And then what happened was, but then how could they run anyway, because it was quite a severe earthquake. And but they said, well, if Baba has to call us, we are ready, you know. So they were least disturbed. And they just sat in Baba's, Baba, you are with us. And they felt the canopy of protection on their head, they felt it. And as the building shook, that bedroom side fell, the kitchen side fell, everything fell. But that a portion in which Baba's room was, that was intact. and they were saved. If they would have run to the bedroom, or if they would have run anywhere, they would not have been safe. And if they were sleeping, it was 4:30 in the morning, and they were doing Amrit Vela in Baba's room. And that side was saved, it didn't fall, and the other side fell. Well, this is drama. This is what we say, how Baba helped them. So many such situations. So, how Baba helps. But then Baba says you should be able to get the right touching. That is very, very important. And the right touching will come if the line is clear. If I know how to let go, if I know how to go beyond, if I have that faith, yes, Baba is with me. And in this way, I can overcome these situations. So again, Baba teaches us how to let go. As Baba says, nothing belongs to me. Baba, this is yours. This body is yours. This mind is yours. This wealth is yours. It's yours, Baba. It's not mine. So when it is Baba's, then definitely my attachment, my pull is not there. Baba is not going to take away everything from you. Nothing he'll take away. But Baba says, become a trustee. It's entrusted to you. Baba gives it back and entrusts to you that yes, stay as a trustee of it. And when you are a trustee, really that feeling, Baba, yes, it belongs to you. You take care, and how you are able to become so light, so light. When the thought comes, mine, that possessiveness comes, then all the difficulties come. So how do we give up the mind, the possessiveness? Baba, it's yours. That's why Baba says, so easy. If you have that thought, I, the ego is there, I, change that I into I, the soul. Change it. You like the word I? Okay, keep it. But just add I, the soul. And immediately the ego will go. You love this word, my. Okay, keep it. Keep this word, but just add my Baba. And everything will change. Because the two doorways to sinful actions are I and mine. They are the two big doorways to sinful actions. The moment I say I am sowing the seed of body consciousness, and that is going to be the cause of all the evils, going to result in the tree of sinful actions. And the moment I say I, the soul, immediately I am free, because the soul is free. Soul's original nature is freedom. And therefore, I don't like bondage anyway. Somebody is like, pampering me, telling me this again and again. I don't like it. Why I don't like it? Because I am a free soul. Freedom is my nature. So as I'm a free soul and freedom is my nature, I don't like that somebody should possess me. Somebody should just overpower me. It's the natural instinct of every soul. But then freedom has to come with disciplines also, definitely. You know, again, here we sometimes deceive ourselves. Sometimes we say, well, I'm free, I can do whatever I want to. But if I say whatever I want to, I come into body consciousness, into ego, into jealousy, into hatred, into all the vices. Because whatever I want to, I can do. That's what I feel. But no, that is not freedom. That is leading to bondage. This is freedom leading to bondage. You know, like we tell the outsiders, somebody may say, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. I can smoke, I can drink, I can, you know, do whatever I want because I'm free. Okay, do it, no problem, nobody will stop you. But if you drink and smoke and, you know, do all the wrong habits you have, ultimately they will finish you. Sometimes we say to people, a person is 6 feet tall and he is addicted to a cigarette which is just 3 inches, maybe 2 inches, 2.5 inches. So a huge human being, 6 feet tall, but a slave of a 3-inch cigarette, though he's so tall. What's the use of that tallness if he's addicted to that 3-inch cigarette? And he can't do without it. But it started off with the thought, I am free. I can do whatever I want to do. So freedom will ultimately lead to bondage because it is with body consciousness. But freedom with soul consciousness will ultimately free me from all the bondages. Because I am a soul, I am free from the pull of the body. And then, if I am a free soul, free from the pull of body, then I am able to become aware of my original nature. What am I truly? But if I am body conscious and I start overpowering, then I will become more and more a slave. And therefore Baba says, I'm a soul. Baba has to tell us again and again. You know, many children say, oh, in every Murli Baba says, you are a soul, consider yourself to be a soul and remember me. In every Murli Baba saying. But then that is the ultimate basis of everything. Because at the end it will be just 1 second test. And in that I can pass only if I am soul conscious and remembering Baba. In that last moment, if I am soul conscious and remembering Baba, I have passed the test. And in order to pass in the test of 1 second, I need a long time practice. So Baba says, I will continue telling you this till you become perfect. Because this is the only answer. And we take it for granted, well, I know it. But it's not just knowing it, it is becoming it. We know many things, but still we don't do it, no, don't we? And today Baba said in the blessing that you give this as a challenge to all. So challenge and practical should be equal. We challenge everybody. You know, so many challenges we give. God has come, we challenge, yes. God is giving us the knowledge and tomorrow we don't go to class, we stop going, we stop reading the Murli and people will tell us, you were saying God has come and you are not going to the class? Oh, I'm so tired. Then God has come, you're not going. You know, very often it happens, you know, when supposing I'm in knowledge but my family members are not in knowledge and I say, no, I want to go every day for Murli, for class, for this and because God has come on earth and He's imparting but maybe family members don't come. They're not interested. Okay, you don't tell them anything, but you go. But then after some time, you become lazy. And you don't go. Then your family members will say, you said God has come and you're not going. They start teasing you. You say, you only said it, no? So the challenge that I give and the practicals I do, practical should resemble. We challenge the people, yes, husband and wife can live together and still lead a pure life. We challenge people. But then, if we ourselves are not able to do it, then the challenge and practical cannot go together. You know this. Then Baba said in today's blessing, even that becomes a sinful action, because I'm saying something and doing something else. Sometimes we say something and we do something else, that means I am actually cheating myself. Others I don't cheat, I mean what they care. But I'm cheating myself because I'm saying something and doing something else. So whatever I say, I should be able to do that. Only then my saying will have any weight, otherwise it won't have any weight. And therefore Baba says, my thoughts, my words, my actions, all the three should be equal. Sometimes thoughts are many, but of course words will be comparatively less than my thoughts, and actions will be even less comparatively than my words. You know, the speed of thoughts is much faster than the speed of words, than the speed of actions. So there's a big difference. But then Baba says, in order to equalize all the three, I have to lower my speed of thoughts. And then let my words be according to my right thoughts. Now whatever I'm speaking, I'm first thinking. No, the words are not coming just like that. I'm thinking what I have to speak, and then the words are coming. And then, of course, they are coming into action also. If I say, Baba says, be soul conscious, I'm body conscious and I'm saying it, Baba says, be soul conscious, people will immediately note it. Their sister is saying, be soul conscious, but she's so body conscious. Well, people note it immediately. We speak a lot about stress management, you know. I know of one sister, she was speaking on stress management, managing stress, overcoming stress. But she herself was so stressed, and saying with that stressful, you know, face. So somebody commented, sister, but you overcome your stress first. It's such a, you know, you can say it, how she felt it. Because she didn't realize that her face should reflect that stress-free stage. Just giving a big lecture is not enough. But this is what Baba says in the Murlis also. Children give lectures, give classes, they read the Murli. And they are sitting on God's seat. Baba's Murli is, Murli are versions of God. They are sitting on God's seat. They are equal to God and speaking God's versions. How should they be? They should be like God. But then very often, you know, people in the world also give this very good excuse. Well, we are human beings anyway, we are not God. But God has come to make us like Him. And therefore, whatever we say, we should do that practically. And it should all come from inside, not just outside, not just through words. It should be visible in our actions, and therefore thoughts, words, actions should be alike. And this is why Baba says, keep me in your remembrance. Whenever you say anything, say, God has said this, Shiv Baba has said it. You know, and every Murli Baba comes. So you are free. If somebody is saying, why you said this, you say, I didn't say it, God has said it. So you are not to be blamed. These are God's versions. And if you are speaking God's versions, you are definitely very, very responsible too. You are seated on the seat of God. You know, like we tell, in many judges come here, the judiciary, from the judiciary, judges, lawyers, they also come, we give them meditation sessions. So we tell them, a judge is seated on God's seat. You know, God is called the Supreme Justice. And you are given the seat of God to give justice to everyone. So how will you be able to give justice? At that time, think that you have that scale in front of you and you have God's seat in front of you and you have to give the right justice. Without being biased, you have to give the justice on the basis of values. You can't give the decision just because you're getting money from there. You know, corruption. Nowadays there's so much of corruption everywhere. But a judge is having the seat of God. A doctor is having a seat of God. God is also a very big surgeon. And a doctor is supposed to be a very big surgeon. You know, he's taking the seat of God because he has to cure people. He's not supposed to make permanent patients. Nowadays, doctors make permanent patients. They give such a high dose right at the beginning. And the result is, well, the person feels that he's cured. But then his immune system is finished because of the high dose he took at the beginning. And he becomes a permanent patient of the doctor. Because the patient has faith in him. Oh, he cured me so quickly. But then afterwards it relapses. Because the immune system dropped completely. And they become permanent patients of the doctor. But the faith continues, oh, he cured me, he will cure me again. But then his immune system is weak. Even if the doctor gives a higher doses, it's going to be worse. Somebody was saying it's like killing a mosquito with a bomb. Mosquito, a small mosquito, a small ant, but you kill it with a bomb. There's no need. You can just kill like that only if you want. You don't have to use a bomb for it. But that's what they use. Big high doses of antibiotics and finish the immune system of the person. So they make permanent patients. Similarly, lawyers make permanent clients. They teach them tricks. You know, all the dirty tricks of how they can get money, how they can do this. They say, don't worry, I'm behind you. If something happens, I know how to fight the case. And they teach them all the wrong things. So they make them permanent clients. No? So permanent patients and permanent clients. But no, a doctor is in the seat of God. A judge is on the seat of God too. Similarly, a teacher is the seat of God. God also is a teacher. He teaches us. So every teacher is sitting on God's seat. Like, that's why they say these are noble professions. Noble professions means they don't have to come in the picture. They have to finish off all the, eradicate all the vices, eradicate all that. And the teacher should teach. The student learns and he goes so high, but the primary school teacher remains primary school teacher till his death, or till he retires. But the students become vice chancellors. I always give the example of Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam. He became the president of India, but he never forgot his primary school teacher. He used to say, two people have affected in my life. One was my father and the other was my teacher. My primary school teacher, who used to teach him in his home village where he lived, somewhere in Tamil Nadu. So he once said that that after he became the president, he went to his home, his village, you know, in Tamil Nadu, to meet his primary school teacher, who was very, very old. Of course, he couldn't even see, he was too old, but he was alive. And he went and touched his feet. And somebody told that his teacher that he is now the president of the country, and he was your student when he was a child. He said, oh, why are you touching my feet? No. And you know what president said? For the country, I may be the president. For you, I'm only a student. That's what he said. So you can understand. The teacher is there and the student rises so high. But for the student, the teacher is a teacher all the time. Like a father is always a father. Even if the son rises or gets a lot of success in life. But he can't go higher than his father. He can't go higher than his teacher. He can't go higher than his guru. Because the guru will always be a guru, even the disciple gets many of his own disciples. But still he's a disciple of a particular guru. So his guru is always higher than him. So these three relationships God at this time fulfills. And we take the God's seat. Baba sometimes says like Prajapita. Baba says, Brahma Baba is Prajapita, the father of humanity. Every Lokic father is also the father of his children. So he too is like a Brahma, you know, for his children, for his family. So such a big responsibility. Such a big responsibility of a teacher, such a big responsibility of a Sadguru. So sitting on God's seat, we have such a big responsibility. And therefore, whatever we say, we do that. And we think also accordingly. So the speed of thoughts, words, actions should all be alike. They should go together. Only then, Baba says, you can become perfect. Only then we can finish all our sinful actions. Only then we can fly to the subtle regions without any punishment. Only then we can claim a high status in the golden age. So how do we free ourselves from sinful actions? Three aspects. First is, the more you are in Baba's remembrance, the more you strong you become, the more you can overcome anything that comes in life. And secondly, don't commit any more sinful actions. I and my. Be free from that. Nothing is mine. And I'm a soul. I'm loveful, peaceful, blissful. That's what I am. And thirdly, whatever comes in my way, think you're settling, finishing karmic account. And therefore, have the thought that if I'm finishing, well, they will all come at the end. You know, when supposing somebody is being transferred somewhere, and wherever he was, there he took a lot of money, things from people, whatever. And when he is leaving, of course, all those from whom he took things, they will come to him. You took this from me, you took that from me, and people will ask for whatever they gave him. So, at the end, all these things are coming in front of me. And I have to finish all that. Doesn't matter, Baba, I let go, let go, let go. Because I have to be free, I have to be free. And then when I'm getting the touchings from Baba, yes, I can act accordingly. Some people say, how do I know whether these touchings that I'm getting is from Baba or from Maya? You know, sometimes Maya gives a lot of touchings, which is based on body consciousness. And I think it is Baba's touching. Because Maya also acts like Baba. Takes the form of God sometimes and we feel it's Baba, but it's actually Maya. So how do I know whether it's Baba's touching or Maya's touching? The best method is to verify it with somebody. Verify it with some seniors. Verify it with somebody, a few others. If they're also getting the same touching, then they'll accept it. Yes, it could be Baba's. But if others are obstructing, if others are coming in the way, others are not liking, then don't think it is Baba's touching. Don't think, no, Baba's touching me. It's Maya touching me. Because if Baba's touching me, Baba will touch even that one. Why just you? Baba won't just touch you. The sun is giving rays to everyone, not just you. So verify it with others. Okay, if you think it is Baba's touching, and you see you're becoming, no obstacles are coming, that means it's Baba's touching. If any obstacle comes, it is not Baba's touching, it's Maya's touching. There are three things. If you verify it and the verification is equal to your touching, well, okay, it's good. If you're not getting any obstacles, it is Baba's touching. And thirdly, if there is fear, don't know what will happen, it's not Baba's touching. If there is, it's Baba's touching, then no fear will come. You will get the strength. If the fear comes, it is not Baba's touching. So the fear should not be there. the obstacle should not be there, and when you are verifying, it should be like paving your way, clearing your way for doing it. And they give you a green signal, they give the blessings, then yes, it's Baba's touching. Don't think, oh, because it's Baba's touching, I will definitely do it, and others are obstructing you. It is not Baba's touching. It is my ego working, and that ego is because Maya's touching is there. Maya will affect my ego, and I think it's Baba's touching. So this is why Baba sometimes says that Maya interferes with God's teachings. So verify it through the Murli also. If there's nobody else there to help you to verify it through the touching. What does Baba say in the Murli? Or sit in silence and then talk to Baba. And then if the touching will come, it will come in such a strong way that yes, and when the line is clear, the intellect is very clean, very clear and very light. Yes, it's Baba's touching. Otherwise it can be Maya's touching. And we can be deceived. But that ego works, and therefore, no, Baba's touching. I don't want to believe in you. Baba's touched me. Baba touched me. It's not Baba. So, how to free the self from sinful actions? These three methods. Very important. Okay? Any questions? Anybody wants to ask anything? Yes? Pardon? Yeah, you can speak loudly, then I will repeat. Speak loudly. Can you come in the front? Yeah, he's giving the mic.
Surya Bhai gave a class the other day when he said if you want something, you can use visualization techniques to bring it about. And then there was something, I had a goal, and then I thought, but if Bubba wants it to happen, or if it's Bubba's wish, it should happen naturally. So what do I do with my wishes for things, even for service, or, you know, do I think about them lots? Do I visualize them? Do I put a lot of energy into it, or do I just give it to Baba?
No, very good question. At that time, I had this thought that, is it my wish? Is this wish based on Baba's teachings? Is it going to really benefit anyone? Or is it going to benefit just me? You know, sometimes it's my wish, no doubt, but then it's not going to benefit anyone. It is just for my name and fame. Very often it happens, I want my own name and fame. I want my praise. And therefore I want to do it because I want praise. I want name. I want fame. It's a very subtle thought, very subtle thing. At that time, ask yourself, am I wanting this just because I want name and fame and praise? Or is it really for Baba? Is it really going to benefit anyone? Think in that way. And if you think, no, it's only maybe for just for me, and then let Baba decide. Okay, Baba is up to you. But if it's really for going to help everybody, is Baba's touching, then verify it with the seniors. That's what I said. That's what I meant. Sometimes my wish can be Maya's touching also, no? You understand? So how do I know? Okay, try doing it. If obstacles come, it's definitely not right. And then at that time, okay, it may be right too. But if the obstacle has come, it means this is not the right time. Even time factor is there. So let me wait. You know, I tell you, Dadiji is a very beautiful way of administration. I mean, all the seniors are like that. Supposing in a meeting, there are many opinions. And Dadi has one opinion too, her own. But she's hearing many different opinions. Well, first of all, she will never entrust her opinion. Never. And if there are other opinions and no compromise has been made, supposing, she will say, okay, let us give it to Baba. Let Baba decide. Even I can go against my own wishes. Let Baba decide. And it's very interesting that with the decision Baba gave was some completely different from what each one said. And then it's accepted because Baba said it. And when Baba's blessings come, it will definitely be a success. And that success, in that I have to surrender to. I should not say, but I am the head, I am the leader, I am the boss here. You know, in the world people do that. And therefore whatever I say should be done, no. This wish could be because of Maya. So we have to have a very clear intellect. Why am I having this thought? Is it for my name and fame and praise? Or is it for the benefit of the family? Is it for the benefit of service? Is it going to really help the yajna? You know? So on that basis, we can understand whether it should be done or not done. Okay? Yes? Any other question?
I think you did answer this question, but however, it just still remains a challenge. The depth of this Maya coming in between, whether Maya or Srimad, you know. Mm. So, when it's practically, Maya really overtakes. And many times Baba has always said that Maya is sometimes as powerful as, Baba, and then it just really, overtakes you. Could you go a little bit more deeper into how we can step by step try to differentiate between Maya and Srimad?
Yeah, these are the few steps which I just mentioned, no? And also sometimes what Baba says, what is Maya? Maya is actually my own weakness. No, Maya is not someone existing physically or someone coming in my way physically. It's my own weakness. No? What exactly is Maya? But it's definitely a battle between Baba and Maya, definitely. That's what we experience here. So again, I have to sometimes surrender. If it is helping me, if it's making me calm, making me cool, making me light, making me happy, making me peaceful, well, I have to accept that. And if that wish is very strong and it is helping others too, but it is also helping the yajna as well, because I should not go against the yajna. You know what some people do? They try to create their own group. Even that is wrong. We have to go with the family. We can't just do what we want to do. We have to go with the family. Sometimes we do something which we like, but others don't like. So we have to surrender. That again the ego shouldn't come. But why should I surrender? I will do what I want to do. No. Because we have to follow the disciplines. That some may say, well then I make myself feel that I'm weak. I'm not weak. I'm not weak. This is the way to become strong internally. That's what is tolerance, what is patience, what is humility. Somebody may say tolerance, patience, humility, all this is weakness. You know, it's not weakness, it is great strength. No? So Maya and God, the battle is at this time, but Maya is my own weakness. So that time I have to detect, is this based on body consciousness or soul consciousness? That's the way to detect between Maya and Srimad. Okay, who asked this question? So test yourself, is it based on body consciousness or soul consciousness? And the touching will come.